We have a short study today, so I wasn't pressing to get started. Harmony of the Gospels. We're going to be looking at the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. If you'd like a sheet to follow us, there's some information on that you might not have. They're back there on the little podium, so you can get one of those. But let's thank the Lord for our day. Heavenly Father, once again, we give thanks and praise for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for watering your creation. Lord, we would ask now that through the Word, that you would just refresh us with the watering of the Word. And Lord, teach us concerning your second coming, that indeed we'd all be watching and ready. Now we ask these things now in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, Jesus, we read here, is addressing the disciples on the Mount of Olives. We know that from chapter 24, verse 3. The disciples come to him and they ask him a question. In chapter 24, verse 3, he says this. They said, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Second question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, the Lord then proceeds to address these particular questions. And one of the things that he shares with them is that they need to take heed because there's going to be false Christ that will come just prior to his coming. And we know that. I give you three. There was Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. Also, in verse 11, he warns them. And then again in verses 23 through 26, he warns them of false teachers. All of this three times in one chapter, chapter 24. But he also gives them some other signs. He says there's going to be rumors and rumors of wars. Along with that, he tells about famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. And then he also mentions another sign of his coming. There are going to be persecutions. Persecutions from without, but also persecutions from within, from the family. And he speaks and addresses that. And then he talks about, wow, there's going to come the abomination of desolation. And we talked to you about how many theologians believe the first part deals with the first 3.5 years. Then, at the midpoint, when Satan will reveal himself, when he'll seek to take worship of himself, that's the great abomination of desolation and the great tribulation begins. We noted in 24 verses 29 through 31, there's going to be all kinds of cosmic chaos. And then we looked at the parable of the fig tree. And basically what we saw there in the latter part of chapter 24, that you could tell by these signs that he is coming. And one of the things we also noted that in verses 37 and also verses 36 and 44, his coming is going to be sudden. Even though there's signs that we can know, well, it looks like he might be coming anytime. Nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour of his coming. It's going to be sudden. And then we noted that faithful servants watch. Unfaithful servants do not watch for his coming. That was the last aspect of chapter 24. That brings us now to the 25th chapter, and we're going to look at and read the first 13 verses. And our first question now is this, in the parable of the 10 virgins, what does Jesus liken the kingdom of heaven unto? Now we have this parable of the 10 virgins. And what we're going to see is basically this, only those who are prepared will enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so what did the 10 virgins do? Look at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, I'm giving you Ryrie's Study Bible footnote. So let's read the footnote together. And so you understand that with the aspect of the coming of the bride or bridegroom, the marriage was like in two parts. For example, There were two phases to the Jewish weddings. First, the bridegroom went to the bride's home to obtain his bride and to observe certain religious ceremonies. All right. Then he'd take his bride to his own home for a resumption of the festivities. Christ will take his bride to church, to heaven, before the tribulation begins. Then he will return with his bride at the second coming for the marriage supper on earth. The virgins, they represent professing Jewish remnant on earth at his return. So this is really dealing more with the Jewish. Now, he's going to turn to the Gentiles later in this chapter, chapter 25. But he's right now really addressing the Jews. But, of course, there's some lessons here for us to be learning also. All right, so let's take a look at the next question. How does Jesus describe these 10 virgins? Look at verse 2. He says this, "And five of them were wise, and five were foolish." So he divided them up, didn't he? Five wise, five foolish. So we got five wise, and we got five foolish. All right. Why, verse, page 2, why does Jesus say the five were foolish? Well, look at this. "They that were foolish, they took their lamps," and wait a minute, "and they took no oil with them." Now, I'm assuming that there was oil presently in the lamp. But what didn't they take with them? They didn't take any additional oil. All right, the lamp is lit and they're on their way, it's lit. But they don't take any additional oil. Now, why does Jesus say the five were wise? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they took oil, not only in their vessels, but also with their lamps. So they've got both. So again, I ask you a question. What did the wise have that the foolish virgins didn't have? They had more oil, reserved oil, all right? Now, some liken the aspect of oil to the Holy Spirit. And they'll use a passage like 1 Samuel 16, when David is being anointed with oil, all right? It's like the aspect of the Holy Ghost, being anointed with the Holy Ghost. Now, certainly there's that idea that, but I don't want to take it too far. But I did want to at least let you know how some interpret the aspect of oil. They also interpret as having the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, what did Jesus say about the bridegroom? He says, well, while the bridegroom tarried, and I give you the word tarried, also translated delayed. So, hey, they're anticipating him coming. He's come, got the bride, went away. He's coming back. But he didn't come back immediately. All right? Didn't come back immediately. So, I think about Peter. And Peter, they were doubting this whole aspect about Christ's return because they said, well, look, it's been 30 years since he's gone, and everything remains the same. All right? All been the same. So they were beginning to doubt. And so, obviously, the five foolish are looking, seeing that he's tearing, he hasn't come right back. So they're going to be, and by the way, I ask you this question. Why did he tarry? Why do you think he tarried? Easy answer would be, well, it just wasn't his time yet, right? I mean, that wasn't ordained. But say that again. He wanted more to come, all right, yeah, because he's not coming back until the last chosen, the last elect has been saved, and then when he comes back. We could always say that he was testing. I mean, He's testing and seeing, hey, how are they going to respond? And that I don't return immediately. And, of course, this has been for the last 2,000 years. Everyone, because we could, all of us could say, well, he hasn't come. I wonder if he's, I don't know. So it does become a test for everyone who is alive since the death of Jesus Christ, that it is a test of our faith. Do we believe he's coming? I mean, and he tarried, all right? Now, watch this. What did Jesus say the virgins were doing? It says they all, not just five of them, but all 10 of them, slumbered and slept. Well, listen. Did you sleep last night? Hopefully you slept pretty good. Whoa. But what about the Lord's coming? Don't you believe he's coming? Well, hopefully you do, but that doesn't mean that you stop your normal what? Routine. You have to eat, you have to drink, and you got to sleep. And there's no, he is not beguiling all of them because they slumbered. That's not what's being said here, okay? So they slept because they were tired. All right? That's why they're tired. Nothing wrong with that. But let's go on. What was the cry that came at midnight to the 10 virgins? Verse 6 says this, and at midnight, so hey, you might be to bed by midnight. Most of us go to bed before midnight. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. That was the custom, going out to meet the bridegroom, coming back and having a great feast. But it came at midnight. No, that might have been an hour when they were not really what? Come on, they weren't really. Because what has he told them? When is he going to come? At a time when you will not least expect it, okay? Well, although we've got signs of his coming, and we can know, generally speaking, everything's in order now, but, I still don't know the day, and I still don't know the hour. But he's showing us, he's talking about this, illustrating it through this parable, that he's coming at a time when they don't expect it, because it's midnight. It's a time to sleep. But they were to go out and meet him. That was a cry. What did Jesus say all the virgins did? Then all those virgins, they arose and they trimmed their lamps. Let them up. What did Jesus say the foolish virgins said to the wise? And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So they took their lamps, and their lamps had oil in it, but do you know what's happened now? It's gone out. Now, all they need to do is reach for their reservoirs, right? But wait a minute. They don't what? They don't have any. They're not ready. So now they turn to the others who brought some additional oil. And they said, give us of your oil. All right? Well, let's see how they respond to that. How did Jesus say the wise virgins answered the foolish virgins? Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. What did they tell them to do? Well, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, we additionally would look at that and we might think, man, they're being what? Mean. All right, mean. Selfish. Well, why don't you share? But the reason for not sharing was that, they brought some, but they only had enough for themselves. They'd come prepared, but they that, I don't. And again, how big a larger container are you going to bring? So, but they didn't bring enough. They tell them go buy for yourselves. And of course, it's midnight. All right. How many shops are you going to find open? So Let's see what happens. What does Jesus say happened while the foolish virgins went to buy oil? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They had the warning he's coming. You know, there's signs that he's coming. We just went through them in chapter 24. There's signs he's coming. Let's be ready. Let's be ready. But, yeah, he's coming. They hear the cry. He's coming. But they have to go and get the oil. Look at page 3. And what does Jesus say happened to those who were ready? And they that were ready, they went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Oh, boy. What Old Testament illustration comes to your mind? We've been studying that this morning. Noah. And the door was shut. How many come in after the door was shut? None. And they're saying, okay. They that were, and by the way, we've already saw earlier that was a sign, you know, the aspect that they were eating and drinking. Where is it? Yeah, verse 37 back in chapter 24. But as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of Son of Man be. And they weren't ready. They were off looking for their oil. And so I ask you the question, who's going to be included? Look at that verse 10. Who's going to be included? They that were ready. They that were ready. They went in with him to the marriage and the door was shut. Now we could say, if we're going to liken the Holy Spirit to the oil, okay, we could say in reality, those who were walking in the Spirit would be what? They would be ready. Those who are in the flesh, obviously they're not ready, but you need to be walking in the Spirit to be ready. Now, hey, I asked you the question, how does one get ready? Well, let's go back to chapter 24. Look at verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house to give meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. All right, so we just had that, so you know it's got to be fairly linked to what Jesus has just taught. So how does one get ready? You'd be doing what? You're going to be watching and working. You're going to be serving, a faithful and wise servant. We're going to be doing our Lord's business, being busy about the Lord's business when he comes. Those are those who will be ready, who will go into him to the marriage, and the door will be shut. Good works, I mentioned here on your sheet, they come after salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Speak to that very thing. We're saved by grace, but after you and I saved, it will be verified by our good works. And those who are saved, those who are serving, indeed will be included in this great marriage supper. And Revelation 19, verse 9 speaks about that, the great supper, all right? But what does Jesus say the five foolish virgins sought to do? Afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Well, you can imagine that, right? They want to come into the marriage supper. Open to us. But I ask you, what happens when God shuts the door? And I give you again the illustration. In the days of Noah, when God shuts the door, what happens? No man can open, all right? What did the Lord say to the foolish virgins who wanted into the supper. But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." Now, let me show you something, all right? We got a couple of passages. Let's do this. Let's look at Matthew 7, because we're right here in the book of Matthew, if you got your book Bible open. If you don't, and you just want to listen to me read to you, I can do that. I'm going to read to you two sections. I'm going to read first Luke 13. I'm also going to read Luke 13, the way I put them down here in the paper. Luke 13, verse 23 says it like this. Luke 13, verse 23. "And then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive ye to enter into the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Why? They're coming in trying to get in a what? A different way, aren't they? "When once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and ye shall begin to stand without to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when he shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." And then he talks about they're going to come from the east and west, north, south, to sit in the kingdom of God. All right, now, there's that aspect. Now, listen to this. So, I'm reading out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. And he says, okay, he's talking about false prophets. Beware of false prophets, verse 15. Verse 20 says, "Wherefore, by their fruits you're going to know them." And then he says this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Oh, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, you see that when we look at this and we say, well, who are those who are cast out? They may have done works in the name of the Lord. Well, we've attended church, ushered, done other works in the church in the name of the Lord. But in both those passages, the Lord says, I never knew you. Why? Because you're workers of what? Because there's workers of iniquity. And they were not permitted in. These five who will not be permitted in, likewise, are workers of iniquity. Yes, he's distinguishing between the wise and the foolish. Go back with me now. We're back in our passage in Matthew because I want you to see in Matthew 24 what he does. We just saw the wise, okay? The faithful and wise is verses 45 through 47 of Matthew 24. Now, watch who he contrasts that with. "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming." Okay, he wasn't coming. We're okay. "And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken," so we see his works, right? "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut us under, appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So there's that contrast between the faithful and the foolish. Those who are faithfully serving God, not performing deeds of iniquity, versus those who are not serving God, in fact, beating his servants, mistreating them, and partaking in wickedness, will not be included. Verse 13, now in our present text, as we close this up. What admonition does Jesus give to his listeners? Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, he said this back in chapter 24, verse 42. Watch, wherefore, you know not what hour the Lord will come. And then he also says it in verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I mentioned to you as we close, only those who are in Jesus, striving to do his will, are truly prepared for his coming. All right, so first of all, did we learn anything about our triune God in these verses? What is the expectation of our God? The expectation is that how many should be ready? All should be ready. Now, that's his expectation. The Bible says that God desires how many to be saved? All. God's desire is that all should be saved. Now, he's decreed that some will be, but God's desire is that all should be ready. Now, he also mentions, when we look at God, that he will give us signs of his coming. In this illustration, the sign was the cry, "The bridegroom cometh." Now, we've already looked at other signs in chapter 24 that he's given to us. There are signs that the Lord is coming. And we've already said, really, all of those signs, we could say we've seen. Right, so that indicates to us then his time could be now, right now. Anything else did we learn about a triune God that you want to add in these verses? Well, what did we learn about mankind in these verses? Mankind's made up of two different groups. Do you know that? Bible said it very clear. John chapter 3, verse 36 makes it very clear there's two types of people. There are those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and those who haven't. All right. Here, how does he identify those two people? There are wise and foolish, right? Wise and foolish. Before, he talked about faithful and wise servant, and he also talked about that evil servant. But we see that there's two types. And we need to understand, we fall in one of those categories. Every one of our friends and family members fall into one of those categories. And of course, our role is to be inviting them all to come to the marriage feast. But our expectation should be what? They won't. Now, is it going to be 50-50? No. But you can invite them all to come. But they're not all going to be ready. There may be some, that will be professing, "Lord, Lord, I knew you. Lord, I was prophesying your name. Man, I was doing all kinds of good works in your name." And he says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Because they're, in reality, individuals of iniquity, and that they have not been genuinely saved through faith in Christ. Let's see what else. Some ready, some not ready. Okay. All right. So the big thing is that we come all down to this. We read this passage today, and we go, okay, that was good. That was 13 verses we got through today, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. So what? How might that motivate us to change? How might it? What should we be motivated to be doing? Watching and working. We need to be prepared. Now, this one is maybe a little more in the watching. The next parable, the parable of talents, is going to be an emphasis more on the working. But you put them both together, God would have us to be watching for his coming. Because listen to me, if you believe that today at noon the Lord is coming, I guarantee you during the service from 11 to 12, you're going to be, and when we have our time of prayer, I know how you're going to be praying. God, please forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me white as snow. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Well, I mean, I know I would be. If I generally thought the Lord's coming today at 12 o'clock, I guarantee you, I'd be on my knees and I'd be crying out. I'd be confessing my sins. I'd be asking God to forgive me. And that's the attitude that God wants us to have, to be watching. But as we're going to see next week, while we're watching for him and anticipating his coming and trying to walk in purity, we're going to be working for him. We're going to be serving him. And he's built that in chapter 24, and he's going to build on it as he goes down through chapter 25. All right, let's thank the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you just for this wonderful parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. Lord, we thank you for what you've taught us. And Lord, first of all, it's our desire to be a part of that wise five virgins in that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we would also just desire for you to impress upon our heart that you could come at any day and any hour of that day. And with those thoughts and minds, Lord, we would be diligently about your work that you called us to do. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one who's here this morning. I pray that it's been a source of encouragement to them. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.